Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. Today, a conversation with Calvin Miller. Well, welcome everybody. This is your friendly guy, Dick Staub. And you know, it's hard to believe, but the Christmas season is upon us. Preparations are underway for decorating the tree in the house and shopping for gifts, and invitations are out for wonderful parties and dinners and family get-togethers. But truly, how do you prepare for the season spiritually? It's the most important thing we need to do, and it's one of the most challenging things to do these days. Pastor and author Calvin Miller has written a wonderful new book designed with your spiritual preparation in mind. It is called The Christ of Christmas, Readings for Advent. And Calvin, it's wonderful to have you back with us.
Thank you, Dick. It's great to be here.
Let's start just by talking about Christmas in the home in which you were raised. Were you raised in a Christian family?
I surely was. And I was, I always tell everybody the Great Depression was over in most of the United States in 1931, but in Oklahoma, it lasted till 1936 when I was born.
Wow!
So there were a lot of pockets of poverty that, like there will be getting out of the current financial crunch. You know,
yeah.
they don't warm up as fast as some parts of the nation. So we were poor, and yet I have a book, Dick, where I say that one of the great attributes of my mother is that we never guessed we were poor.
Always
thought we were. I can remember, for instance, that every Christmas, without fail, Mama read us a little book that she'd bought at a drugstore in Guthrie, Indian Territory. Mama was born in 1900 in Oklahoma, and it was Indian Territory then. And
wow.
She bought this little book there, and she read it to us every Christmas. And the little book was A Christmas Carol.
Huh.
And I can remember that she created such empathy as she read that story that we always felt sorry for the Cratchits because they didn't have anything but a goose, but we never even had a goose. And I think that's a tribute to a great set of parents as they create a sense of abundance at this time of year.
So what did you do at Christmas time? You read the Christmas Carol. What else went on?
Well, I can remember that was the big thing. Now, you know, I tried to, of course, all of us parents, we have these stories about how we walk to the school through the snow and all that.
Yeah, exactly. And we need to pour them on, buddy. Keep it coming.
We do need to do that. And we had that, too. You know, I mean, we looked forward to it because we didn't have, like REA, Rural Electric, didn't come through our part of Oklahoma until I was 14.
Wow.
So I was, we read these things by coal, as we used to say, coal oil, a kerosene lamp, and the mama would, you know, turn the wake up a little bit, and we'd all snuggle in, and she'd read. And that was the season for us. We did have a little tree, usually, that she got somewhere, but gifts, I'm sure, were not as abundant as they have since become.
When you called the faith your own and went out and kind of established your own life, what kinds of things did you want to do in terms of establishing traditions in the Christmas season that would keep your mind and heart focused on the right stuff?
Well, I think the one thing that I did early on, as an evangelical, I moved to Omaha, Nebraska in the year 1966 to begin a church.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in a pocket of the country that's fairly non-evangelical. Omaha's a wonderful place, but it is non-evangelical as, say, Baltimore, Boston, in percentage of the populations to evangelicals who are present. So I just began saying, hey, what are all the Lutherans and Catholics doing in Omaha? How do they do Christmas? And one of the things I determined, I've always believed this, that if you're starting a church, your neighborhood should, to some degree, determine the kind of church you start. Your your program should meet local needs. And so I just started studying Lutheran and Catholic catechisms, and particularly at Christmas, I began to feel like they really had something going at Advent. And so way back there when my children were little, we started Advent guides for Christmas.
Hmm.
Many times I wrote my own because Southern Baptists came very late to Advent.
Wow.
So I had to write it. But now it's kind of amazing, you know, Dick, since this new Advent book has come out that I've written, man, there must be 1,000 Southern Baptist churches using it now.
Wow.
And I guess the thing that's kind of amazing to me is that these churches, many of them probably couldn't hardly spell Advent.
Yeah, exactly.
10 years ago, but I'm glad they're into it.
You know, one of the things, I'm a third-generation preacher's kid, and I've got a lot of friends who are pastors, and I find it interesting that they will say that Christmas is both the most exciting and the most challenging time to communicate because as you say in the introduction of this book, so many things are common about Christmas, and the themes are not brand new, and yet they're so exciting, and they can be new every year for us. How did you kind of stay fresh year after year during the Christmas season as you tried to determine what God wanted you to say to people about this wonderful season?
Well, one of the things that helped me, Dick, of course, I was a pastor, so every Advent I pulled into a special series of sermons, which I'd have to be studying myself to bring to the people. Then we had the Advent readings for church, and then, of course, we had all the programs that go with it, the special communions, the pageants, and so forth. So for my own part, at least living in the Christmas story was not so much the problem. But I do think one of the things that Robert Weber says in some of his wonderful work about Christmas is that evangelicals have unfortunately come to be in a time in which consumerism is king.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to separate out the pure strains of what Advent traditionally was. Like, I constantly have to remind people that the 12 days of Christmas actually began on Christmas Eve. I mean, we're doing it all backwards now. Up until very recent times, people celebrated Christmas from Christmas Eve, December 24th, through January 6th. And so they didn't, they didn't have this thing that we do now, where we just have this huge buildup until December 25th, and it's all over for evangelicals.
Yeah,
but there was a movement. There was a movement on through the 6th of January, the 12 days of Christmas. There were carols about this. We know one or two of them still hang around.
Yeah,
and then there was on January 6th was Epiphany, when Jesus was manifest as the Son of God to the world. It was a global kind of theme. Plus, Advent in the early years, in the early centuries, had a lot to do with the second coming. They talked about Jesus' first coming, but it was always with a view to remember he was coming again. And we sort of lost that in Advent.
Yeah. It's interesting. You keep making reference to evangelicals, and there are many wonderful things that evangelicalism has brought into our life and into our culture and into our society. But it is really only recently, and you mentioned Robert Weber as an example, that we've really tried to understand more about liturgy, about different ways of expressing worship, that in fact, and traditions that, as you've already mentioned, Advent during the Christmas season, that really bring about a sense of expectation and regular focusing on the themes that we ought to have our minds on during the season.
I totally agree, and I think the one thing that one of the things that's really great about Advent is the use of candles. Now, I don't know that we adults need it as much, although it doesn't hurt us either, but children get very excited about candles and a candle ring, and you light a candle and you read a scripture and you say, kids, this is the fourth candle of Advent. It's 4 weeks till Jesus' birthday and 3 weeks till Jesus' birthday. And you keep those candles lit, and it's a high sense of anticipation. I think it's wonderful.
Join us next time for more conversation with Calvin Miller. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse.